This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm Rick Lindquist, WW1ME, and this is ARRL Audio News for November 20th, 2020. ARRL has urged the FCC to waive its proposed $50 amateur radio application fee. The proposal has already drawn more than 3,200 individual comments overwhelmingly opposed to the plan. The fees, directed by Congress and imposed on all FCC-regulated services, are to recover the FCC's costs of handling and processing applications. ARRL argued that the FCC has explicit authority to waive the fees if it would be in the public interest for it to do so. Unlike other FCC services, the amateur service is all volunteer and largely self-governing, with, for example, exam preparation, administration, and grading handled by volunteers. Also, ARRL and the FCC signed a Memorandum of Understanding last year to create ARRL's Volunteer Monitor Program, relieving the FCC of significant time-consuming aspects of enforcement. ARRL pointed out that such volunteer services as these lessen the regulatory burden, including the application burden, on the FCC's resources and budget in ways that licensees in other services do not. ARRL also noted amateur radio's role in providing emergency and disaster communication, education, and other volunteer services, as justifying an exemption for amateur radio from the fees. ARRL said the FCC should exercise its authority to exempt amateur radio from application fees generally, or it should waive them for applicants aged 26 and younger. U.S. Representative Debbie Lesko of Arizona has introduced a resolution to designate April 18, 2021, as National Amateur Radio Operators Day to recognize the important contributions of amateur radio operators. Amateur radio operators are critical in times of crisis, and our communities are safer thanks to their dedication to sharing important information with the public, Lesko said. She was approached to introduce the resolution by 12-year-old Raymond N7KCB from Peoria, Arizona. Raymond said he started long-distance responders so he could help prepare the community for emergencies with amateur radio. As Lesko's resolution notes, World Amateur Radio Day is celebrated annually on April 18th to commemorate the founding of the International Amateur Radio Union in 1925, and she said her resolution recognizes the amateur radio community with a national day in the U.S. in 2021. The resolution cites the Amateur Radio Emergency Service for providing invaluable emergency communication services following recent natural disasters, including helping coordinate disaster relief efforts following several hurricanes. This is ARRL Audio News for November 20th, 2020, heard in Wakulla, Florida on the K4WAK 145-45 repeater, Fridays at 4:30 p.m., courtesy of the Sportsman's Paradise Amateur Radio Club. As Category 4 Hurricane Iota neared landfall in Central America on November 16th, the Hurricane WatchNet was forced to suspend operations at 0300 UTC because of what HWN manager Bobby Graves, KB5HAV, described as deafening interference from a foreign AM broadcast station that came out of nowhere. At the time, the net had shifted to its 40-meter frequency of 7.268 megahertz, collecting real-time weather and damage reports via amateur radio. Graves called the situation heartbreaking, as the eyewall of Iota, with sustained winds of 155 miles an hour, was just offshore at the time. After activating at 1300 UTC, the net was able to collect and forward reports from various parts of Nicaragua and Honduras via WX4NHC at the National Hurricane Center. Iota was the most powerful storm on record to make landfall this late in the hurricane season. Graves said the very strong AM station was on 7.265 megahertz and was a solid S9 at his location, blotting out anything else. The offending signal appeared to be from a 500 kilowatt broadcaster in Turkey. Graves said the HWN has a long history on 7.268 megahertz, but that the net is now considering a 40-meter frequency below 7.2 megahertz. Here's the AMSAT report. It was 20 years ago, on November 13, 2000, that the International Space Station Expedition 1 crew turned on the amateur radio on the International Space Station radio for the first time and completed several contacts with ground stations and a school around the world. Today, two radios are aboard the ISS, a Kenwood TMD710GA in the Columbus module and a Kenwood D710E in the Zvezda service module. Here we are in 2020 with new radios on station, plus a specially designed power supply. Many ham astronauts have used the gear during their stays on station. Some made a lot of contacts outside of the ARIS schedules, and a few even took part in field day. It's still possible to snag a random contact on 145.8 with an astronaut if you're lucky. Thanks to those who made communication with space travelers possible, including ARIS, of course, NASA, AMSAT, ARRL, and the Russian Space Agency. The list is too long to name all of those who set the ARIS program in motion and have kept it going over the past two decades. Thanks to Bruce Page, KK5DO, for this report. This is ARRL Audio News for November 20th, 2020, heard in Champaign, Illinois via the K9CU14676 repeater, Thursdays at 9:15 p.m., courtesy of the Twin Cities Amateur Radio Club. A research paper has concluded that Solar Cycle 25 could be among the strongest sunspot cycles ever observed and will almost certainly be stronger than the just-ended Solar Cycle 24, sunspot number 116. The scientists say it will also most likely be stronger than Solar Cycle 23, which had a sunspot number of 180. The predictions are contained in Overlapping Magnetic Activity Cycles and the Sunspot Number, Forecasting Sunspot Cycle 25 Amplitude, by Scott W. McIntosh, Deputy Director of the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Boulder, Colorado, and Associates. As the abstract to the paper explains, sunspots have presented a challenge to understanding, and forecasting accurately in advance remains elusive. The paper says that recent studies have shown a relationship between the sun's 22-year magnetic cycle and the production of the sunspot cycle landmarks and patterns, but not the amplitude of the sunspot cycle. The scientists deduce that sunspot cycle 25 could have a magnitude that rivals the top few since record-keeping began. That would be in stark contrast to the consensus estimates. A SpaceX Dragon capsule carrying four radio amateurs docked on November 17th with the International Space Station. A SpaceX Falcon 9 launcher carrying the precious payload went into space on November 15th from NASA's Kennedy Space Center. The four who arrived November 17th were NASA astronauts Victor Glover, KI5BKC, Mike Hopkins, KF5LJG, and Shannon Walker, KD5DXB, as well as Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency astronaut Suichi Noguchi, KD5TVP. This marks Glover's first time in space. The others all are ISS veterans. The four will remain on station until next spring. All but Noguchi likely will take part in amateur radio on the International Space Station contacts with schools. The first on the list is tentatively scheduled for December 4th with Tecumseh High School in Oklahoma, home of the Tecumseh High School Amateur Radio Club, K5THS. Skywarn Recognition Day each year celebrates the long relationship between the amateur radio community and the National Weather Service. This year, Skywarn Recognition Day 2020 will take place on December 5th. Co-sponsored by ARRL and the National Weather Service, the event recognizes amateurs for the vital public service they perform during times of severe weather and strengthens the bond between radio amateurs and local NWS offices. Normally, each year, radio amateurs participate from home stations and from stations at National Weather Service forecast offices with the goal of making contact with as many offices as possible. This year, due to the COVID-19 restrictions, participation from NWS forecast offices is expected to be minimal, so the focus will shift this year to contacting as many trained Skywarn spotters as possible. During the event, operators are encouraged to exchange name, home station, and current weather conditions with other participating stations. Google Skywarn, SKYWARN, Recognition Day for the website and full details. I'm Rick Lindquist, WW1ME, and this has been ARRL Audio News for November 20th, 2020. A programming note, the ARRL letter will not be published on November 26th because of the Thanksgiving holiday, and ARRL Audio News will be on hiatus next week. The ARRL letter will return on December 3rd, and ARRL Audio News on December 4th. We wish everyone a safe and happy holiday. 73. We'll see you next time.
ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.